All that we can do is, in a feeble way, give what the Scripture says, but it's God's work. So let's cry to God continually, night after night, day after day. Even when you're giving thanks for your food, you can just ask Him to bless the meeting that very night. So come back again. We'll be glad to see you. And I will say one more thing before I go any further. Bring your Bibles. Boy, there's so many voices in the world today. People are throwing up their hands and saying, who's right? There's only one that's right. And that's God Himself. And those that will listen to His Word. So bring your Bible, see if what we're saying is the Word of God. And if it is, it's only wisdom on the part of any individual to listen to what God has to say. Now I want to read first of all tonight from Luke's Gospel chapter 11. Luke's Gospel, chapter 11, verse 21. When a strong man armed keepeth his palace, his girdle in peace. But when a stronger than he shall come upon him and overcome him, he taketh from him all his armor wherein he trusted, and divideth his spoil. John chapter 16. John's Gospel chapter 16 and verse 7. As the Lord Jesus is speaking and He says, nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send Him unto you. When He is come, He will reprove the world of sin, and of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin because they believe not in me. Of righteousness because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment because the prince of this world is judged. Let's look over now for a few more verses, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants, for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine in the darkness, has shined in our hearts, to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. In this first portion of Scripture that we've read in Luke chapter 11, again the Lord Jesus speaking, and He said, when a strong man armed keepeth his palace, his goods are in peace. But when a stronger than he shall come upon him and overcome him, he taketh away the armor which he trusted and divideth his spoils. This is just right on the rebound, shall I say, of what the people were accusing him of. The people here were doing an unpardonable sin. There's one sin can't be forgiven, and that is the sin against the Holy Ghost. And that's what they were doing here. They were accrediting what the Lord Jesus was doing, His miracles, to Beelzebub, the devil. And so, He turns around and He says to them, when a strong man armed keepeth his palace, his goods are in peace. What is He saying? Well, you can look at it this way. The strong man armed is Satan himself. When he's keeping his goods, when he's keeping his palace, his goods are in peace. We wonder so oftentimes, when the gospel is being preached, and when it's preached well, it thrills the soul of the believer, and we wonder what is wrong that people do not accept it. It's because of the strong man arm. But then we thank God that there's a stronger than he. That's the Holy Spirit of God. If it wasn't for the Spirit of God working in this world, no one would get saved. Because we would all be held under the spell, under the dominion, under the control of the strong man armed. See, let's go back here again for a moment just to this chart. That's where we all began. There was a time when there was no narrow way. There was a time when there was no Broadway. There was a time when there was no death. There was a time when there was no hell. Then came the time when God prepared hell for the devil and his angels. Matthew 25. But because of sin that came into the world, this road opened up. That goes to the same place the devil's going to. It was down to death, because that's the outcome of sin in the Garden of Eden. But there's a strong man armed, and he's keeping his palace. Every soul in this world tonight that's not saved are in his palace. And he's keeping them. By one way or another. Some it's religion. Some it's good works. Some it's hospitality. Some it's pleasure. Some it's fame. But he's keeping them in his palace. And he's keeping his goods in peace. So that they're not aroused. So that they're not thinking. So that they're not really thinking straight. And when you stop and consider that this road here ends in death and hell, to the great white throne, to the lake of fire, you would think, would you not, that people would be rushing for that gate, the narrow gate. You would think that people would be stampeding to get their souls saved and be ready for eternity. That's not the case. Because there's strong man armed. And he's been at it for 6,000 years. And he's doing a good job as far as he's concerned. He had the audacity. He had the audacity to try to tempt the very one that created him, the Lord Jesus Christ. I say he had the audacity to try to get him. He says, I'll give you all the kingdoms of the earth if you fall down and worship me. The audacity of it. But it only proves to me that if he could take and come and tempt the Savior of sinners, the Creator of all the earth and all the universe, if he has the audacity to do that, what would he do with sinners? Don't you see? If it wasn't for the stronger than he, we wouldn't have a chance. Who is the stronger than he? That's the Holy Spirit of God. And he's in the world today doing a job as well. What's he doing? And I like to think of it. I know that Baker, the man that made this chart, he was thinking of the man here that's pointing to the door. He was thinking of the preacher. Well, the preacher can tell the word. That's true. But I want to say it's the Holy Spirit of God that opens the heart here to realize there is a way that's going to hell. And he's the one that brings a person to the Savior. And the Savior is the door to heaven. Not religion. Not good works. That's all good in its place. That's better for the pocketbook. That's better for the health. But it has nothing to do with taking a person to heaven. The strong man armed keeper of his palace, his goods are in peace. But when a stronger than he, and that's the reason why we keep on preaching the gospel, because we know that he's able to break in on any soul, no matter how hard, no matter how far down the scale of immorality has gone, no matter what kind of a person that may be, he's able to break in and break that person to pieces. That's why we keep on, and that's the reason why we keep on praying as well, that he will do his work in these meetings. And don't panic if they don't get saved the first night or the second night or the second week either. A person needs to get a good breaking down by the Spirit of God, and they'll appreciate their salvation a whole lot better. Well, I don't mean to say we're going to go on here forever, but I want to tell you something. There's a reality to this. It's heaven or hell that's in the question. And we're not here to try to get people to join the gospel hall in Victoria Drive. No, if they get saved and baptized, maybe the brethren will allow them to come in. That's not the point. We are not here to try to get members for our church. We are not trying to get people to turn over a new leaf, because if they turned over a new leaf tomorrow, it would be blotted again. No, what we are trying to do to get people to realize, I'm going the wrong road, I'm going to eternal life and judgment, and if I'm not soon saved, it'll be hellfire forever. Therefore, the Spirit of God has to come in and do His work. I told you one night before that my father, when I was with him for years, he had been preaching before I was born, and he used to say to me, boy, listen, your responsibility is to preach the word as plain and simple as you can get it across, and then stand by and let God do His work. Don't you be pushing this. And we're not going to be pushing anybody here. If anybody would like to have a talk, I'm not, while I'm going by here, if anybody would like to ask a few questions, we'll sit down with anybody night or day. It doesn't matter. And sometimes it's the middle of the night, and sometimes it's 4 a.m. And we're so glad to hear some person's soul, I'd like to be saved. But we can't save them. There comes a time when we have to back away and let the Spirit of God bring them to the door. That's His work. We read, didn't we, in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Here's a strong man armed. What's he doing? If our gospel be hid, and this is what I was saying earlier, you would think, would you not? You would think that everybody would want to be in heaven. And I suppose down deep they do. But you would think then, if they realize they want to be in heaven, you would think everybody would be rushing for that door. But they don't. There must be a reason. There is a reason. The strong man armed, he blinds the minds. To somebody, I don't think he's blinding me. I know that I need to be saved. Wait a minute, hold on a minute. He blindfolded, shall I say, the only perfect person that was in the world. And that's not the Lord Jesus. He didn't blindfold Him. Who did He blind? He blinded our first mother. And when she came from the hand of God, she was perfection personified. There was no sin in her. How could there be any sin in her coming from the hands of the Almighty? He performed the first operation and brought her into the world. And yet, the devil blinded her. What to what God said. And that's what He's doing today. He's in the world and He's still at the same thing. Blinding men and women, boys and girls in their sins. Blinding them to what God really says. You know, well, I guess I should understand in a way, because like somebody said to me a while ago, oh, well, you believe that because you were brought up that way. My, I'm so glad I was born in a Christian home. But still, on the other hand, I don't understand how people that are sane and they're thinking, and they're brilliant. As far as brain is concerned, I'm away in the background somewhere. And yet, they have a Bible in their home. The Word of the Living God. From Genesis to Revelation. There's a scarlet line running through it. What is it? The precious blood of Christ. In the Old Testament, it's looking forward to it. In the New Testament, it's looking at it. Now we're looking back at it. It's a scarlet line that's running right through it. What's the scarlet line? The precious royal ruby blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. But like one man said, when Mr. Knox was having meetings over in Ireland, in a big tent that held 3,000, and there was more outside than inside, he was preaching about the precious blood of Christ. He did that oftentimes. And the man down the street a little further in another religious place. Now, I'll not tell you what kind of religion it was. I'll just leave it there. But he got up on a Sunday morning and he said, I don't like this slaughterhouse religion. I want to say to you tonight, carefully, tenderly, and yet faithfully, God will damn the man that does not appreciate the precious blood of Christ. That's what he came into the world for. He didn't need it in eternity gone by. When he put the sun in place, it was a miracle. When he put the stars in place, it was a miracle. But he didn't do it in a body. He didn't need it. It was just the Word. And there was a time when that's all it was. John chapter 1. And the Word spake. And that blazing ball that's been staying there ever since never moves. And he made the world that goes around it once every year. The earth. Tumbles every 24 hours. And yet it speeds like that. It doesn't even knock a bee off a daisy. That's the Creator. That's the one that made man to begin with. And the devil has that whole human group blinded. Until, I say again, until something happens. What is it? When the Spirit of God breaks in. And when he comes to an individual and makes him to realize and brings thoughts of eternity into his soul. And makes him to realize I am a sinner according to the Word of God. And now that individual is beginning to appreciate what God is saying. Now he's beginning to repent. Because repentance is not getting down their knees and going so far on their hands and knees. No, that's not repentance. Repentance, all that is just changing their mind from what they already had in mind to what the Word of God says, the Word of God. And when that person begins to accept and say, that's right, Lord, that's true. What you say about me, I'm a sinner. More than that, there's judgment ahead. More than that, it's eternal. It's the lake of fire. And when that person gets to thinking along those lines, that's the Spirit of God doing his work. And when that person begins to realize I need salvation, it's the Spirit of God brings them to the door for salvation because there was another that bore the punishment that was due to me. So we get back now to this other scripture, John 16. When he, this is the Lord Jesus, he's talking to his disciples and he's just about to go back home to heaven. Won't be long now. The cross is on the way, but after that, he says, I have to go back to heaven. Because if I don't, he, the Spirit of God, he'll not come. But if I go back, he will come. What's he going to do? He will reprove the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. Not judgment to come here, but judgment. Then he goes back over of sin, because they believe not in me. Of righteousness, because I'm going to the Father. And of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. He makes it so simple. Let's go back again. Of sin. That's the sin he convicts a person of before they get saved. You know, I didn't know that was in the Bible the night I got saved. But I want to tell you something. That's the thing that was bothering me. I knew there was a hell. There was no qualms in my soul about that. And I knew further that I was a sinner on the way to it. I had no qualms about that. And I knew that there was a great white throne and a lake of fire. I knew all that. I knew that this was going to take place someday. For those who are saved, every person that's on this way, this is going to take place. But it's not going to happen from here. So I used to go home in that old Studebaker many a time. After gospel meetings, but because my father was having meetings all over Nova Scotia, and we'd go home in that old Studebaker, and it would set me this way. When I was 7 and 8 years of age, if this thing goes over those, some of those banks, and there were some deep ditches,
If this thing is over the bank, when the Lord comes and takes everybody in the car but myself, what's going to happen? Many a night I remember I used to get out of bed in the middle of the night and make my way across the floor. And I'd make my way around that big squeaky floor there. I didn't want anybody to hear me. And I'd get my ear to the keyhole of the door. And I'd hear my father and mother breathing inside. I'd snag back again into my little cot. And I didn't realize while I was going back, he could have come. But I'm so thankful at that time he didn't come, because I would have been left outside. Yes, a preacher's son. A mother that prayed for me, she said, before I was born. But I needed God's salvation of sin because they believe not in me. Let's go back for a minute. I was brought up under the gospel, heard preacher after preacher, and some good ones. Some of those worthies of the gospel, man, they could preach. One man I remember, he had a deep guttural voice, and I just loved to see him get up the platform. But I wasn't saved. And they were telling every night after night, they would speak about, he that believeth hath everlasting life, and is believing God, and so on. And so I said to myself, what kind of believing do you use? This believing bit, it's, I believe it all. I might as well tell you, my sister came in one night when I was 9, and she said to me, because I asked my mother, I said, I'd like to get saved. And she talked to me for just a few minutes, read a few scriptures, and that was it. Like a wise mother, she went away. And then she sent Margaret in. And Margaret sat down, and she went over John 3:16. Oh, she couldn't have had a better one. There it is. And here's what she says. For God so loved the world. Do you believe that? I said, yes, Margaret, I believe that. That he gave his only begotten son. Do you believe that? Well, yes, I said, certainly I believe it. Should not perish, but have everlasting life, whosoever believeth. Do you believe that? I said, yes, I believe it. She said, you saved? I said, no, I'm not saved. And she said, we'll go over it again. For God, what is it you won't understand here? For God so loved the world. Are you part of the world? Yes, Margaret, I'm part of the world. Does that mean God loved you? Yes, it means God loved me. So you believe that? I said, Margaret, why you keep asking me, do I believe it? You know I believe it. I was brought up to believe it. From every T that stroked and every I that started from Genesis to Revelation, I was taught, that's the word of God. Certainly I believe it. Why do you keep asking me to believe it? I was getting mad. Of course, I was getting into a trap too. I didn't realize it. Well, she says, that's strange. I said, what do you mean it's strange? Well, she said, something wrong here. I said, what do you mean? Well, she says, God says, whosoever believeth, hath. You say you believe and you haven't got. Now, one of you has told a lie. You know, that sounded like blasphemy to me. At 9 years of age, I said, Margaret, God can't tell a lie. She said, then what's that make you up to be? You know, for the first time in my life, in my 9 years, I realized I'm an unbeliever. And if somebody in this meeting tonight that's been going on for years, maybe, and holding on to something and thinking, well, surely I believe in and all the rest of it. If you got to the point tonight where you realize that you're an unbeliever, you're a candidate for God's salvation. And not until. That's the first thing he convicts the world of sin, the sin of unbelief. Of righteousness, he says, I'm going to the Father. While he was here on earth, he was righteousness personified. If you wanted to see what righteousness was, just look at him. But he's going to the Father. Now he said, of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged, the strong man. Look at it. Here he is. At Calvary's cross, the Lord Jesus, his heel crushed his head. And he took away his power. so that anyone that's willing to listen to the Spirit of God, that will show them that they're sinners, he'll bring them to the Lord Jesus, and he'll be able to rescue them. He'll be able to deliver them. I'm hoping that there's some in this meeting tonight. Before very long, you will allow the Spirit of God to tell you, first of all, just what it all says, and that you will believe what he tells you, and then that you will get to Calvary's cross, and the Savior sinners uplifted says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest."